there's been a change at the top of an established Michigan political publication since he founded it in 1987. Bill Ballinger's been the publisher and editor of Inside Michigan Politics. During those 26 years, the former Republican state rep and senator has become an often questioned, often quoted political journalist. Last week, Ballinger announced that he is selling the publication to Susan Demas, a veteran reporter and MLive columnist, and here to talk about her new role, Susan J. Demas of Inside Michigan Politics. Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Nice to have you in here. Congratulations, first of all.
Thanks.
Has it been a career goal of yours to own and manage something in this way?
Absolutely. And given the changing face of media, it seemed like an elusive goal for a while. But I'm very fortunate, and I really appreciate the opportunity that I get to work with Bill Ballinger for the next 3 years as well.
He's staying on as associate editor?
Yes.
Is that his title? Okay.
He'll be writing for the newsletter, as I will, and our stable of freelance reporters. But, you know, getting to work up close and personal with Bill Ballinger sounds like a lot of fun to me.
You get to worry about how much to charge, though, and circulation and all of that fun stuff that you may... Have you been in an administrative position like this before at any of your gigs?
I have
gigs?
Been. Okay. I've been an editor. I've been in charge of freelance budgets. I had my own freelance business, so I had to pay my own bills and my own taxes. My father is an accountant, so I have a wealth of information to draw from.
That doesn't hurt, I suppose. I'm curious how long you've been a reader of the publication you're about to take over.
Well, I moved to Michigan 9 years ago, and literally within the first week I was here, I heard of Inside Michigan Politics, and I was calling Bill Ballinger for a story. I was a reporter for the Livingston County paper out there. But, you know, I asked the vice president of the company who was involved in the editorial, well, who do I talk to about politics around here? And he said, Bill Ballinger. And so he has been a source and later on a friend.
And for our listeners who are less familiar with the publication itself, what is Inside Michigan Politics all about? What do readers get?
Well, our publication comes out twice a month. You get news and analysis. You kind of get what's going on behind the scenes in Lansing and in the state. Not just, you know, what you might get off a press release, talking points, but, you know, the inside scoop. Because, you know, Bill Ballinger knows what's going on. He's run for office. He's served. He's been in administrations. He knows the ins and outs. And I think that's what our readers have come to expect.
Are you satisfied with your circulation right now and your readership, or do you have a plan to beef it up, or what?
I am satisfied with it, but I think there's always room to grow, and, you know, that's something Bill and I talked about extensively, that he thought one of the reasons to pass it along was so that somebody else could further grow this business. I'm very excited about the possibility, because I think that it's a pretty reasonable publication, and I think that it could be of use to an awful lot of people.
It's been generally a lot more challenging environment for print journalism. What role does Inside Michigan Politics play there? Do you see more upside to online, for example, as opposed to the print publication?
Well, we offer both, and actually more of our readers still like it in print form. But there's so much there are so many possibilities online and with social media. So I think you're going to see that Inside Michigan Politics will keep its core newsletter, what people count on, but there are lots of new avenues we can go in as well.
Now, Bill was a Republican state lawmaker who has a generally hospitable view of the GOP and the Snyder administration, and the views in your MLive columns are anything but fairly regularly. Is the newsletter's op-ed profile going to be changing?
No. I mean, our MO is nonpartisan, unbiased analysis, and that's what it's going to stay, no matter, you know, who is at the helm. That's what Inside Michigan Politics is all about. Bill and I appear regularly and off the record. We often agree on things. He's my favorite person to appear with. And, you know, with those MLive columns, what a lot of people seem to forget is how unpopular I was with the columns that I wrote about Governor Jennifer Granholm, who was a Democrat. But that was many years ago, and I understand that people have short memories.
What do you make of all the vitriol that gets generated online, especially? I mean, I'm a fairly regular reader of your column, but Tim's and Matt Davis's as well. There's more vitriol online that gets shared than ever before. How do you process all
that's
that?
That's true. You know, honestly, I'm just glad that people are reading. And, you know, I don't take it personally. People are going to be angry. People are going to have a reaction. And at the end of the day, if people still find me worth reading, that's an honor.
But is it a good thing? Is all of this partisan vitriol a good thing?
I don't think so. I don't think Bill Ballinger thinks so either. When he was serving, I don't think there was as much of it, you know, back in the 1970s. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, that's our landscape today. And I think it's up to, you know, reasonable people to try and have reasonable discourse, and we can reasonably disagree. And, of course, there will be some people who still want to be vitriolic, and that's unfortunate.
That is the main part of the meal, it seems, for more and more people, is just that partisan divide, and it's really what people, more than the issues.
Yeah.
It's just, is it right? Is it left? If it's right, I agree. If it's left, I disagree. Whatever.
It's kind of like being a Tigers fan. You're either with them or against them. And politics is a little more complicated than that.
You've mentioned to me that it's significant that Inside Michigan Politics now becomes one of the few political publications to be managed by a woman. What's the significance of that in your mind? Why is that important?
Well, in general, there are so few women who own publications or are publishers or even executive editors. That's still a glass ceiling. And so I feel honored that I'm one of the few women in the state to have such a position. And I fully intend to do my best to support other women in journalism in my role, because I think it's important for more women to enter the profession and to rise up in its ranks as well.
But do you expect your content to reflect that?
I think at the end of the day, Inside Michigan Politics is going to stay the same in its core mission. But, you know, having a woman, I'm conscious of the fact that there are only 4 women out of 38 senators. That's something that I happen to notice every day as I cover the Capitol. You know, maybe a man wouldn't be as conscious of that. And that's an interesting story in and of itself, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Would you expect maybe to pick up more women readers after you're at the helm?
I certainly hope so. I hear the stereotype all the time that women aren't as interested in politics, and I just frankly don't believe that.
Tell us a little bit about your background. I know you spent some time at the Detroit News. You've been at various places. Tell us about that.
Well, I've been a journalist for 12 years. I started out at the Cedar Rapids Gazette in Iowa, and I moved to Michigan 9 years ago. I've worked for various papers, including the Battle Creek Inquirer, Saginaw News, and I've written columns for various publications, including the Detroit News, Lansing State Journal, MLive, Real Clear Politics. So I've been fortunate to do a diverse number of things. I've been part of the Capitol Press Corps for 6 years. Most recently, I was deputy editor with the MERS newsletter that covers politics.
What was the most memorable story you ever covered?
The most memorable? Wow, you're putting me on the spot. I have to say this last presidential primary with Mitt Romney and Rick Santorum and the whole ridiculousness about fighting over one delegate afterwards in a very close election and having the extreme campaigning that we had and all the money spent, that was a lot of fun. We became quite the center of attention, and everybody seemed to pour into Michigan at once. So yay for our economy.
Are you severing ties with MLive then to take over the Inside Michigan Politics?
No, I'll still be a columnist for them. You know, they see it as an asset that, you know, I have a nonpartisan publication that I'm at the helm of, and that probably helps give me some more perspective to comment on politics.
What do you make of the Andy Dillon resignation?
You know, I think it's unfortunate. I got to know Andy very well when he was Speaker of the House and I was covering the legislature. And, you know, he's had a lot of personal issues since then. Hopefully he'll be able to, you know, resolve them and have some peace. But, you know, I think that it was unfortunate for him to be in such a significant position in the administration, and clearly he was distracted. So hopefully this move will be better for everybody.
It's as big a job as ever, being the treasurer of the state of Michigan. Who's in line to take over?
That is an excellent question.
Any thoughts?
You know, I've been thinking about that a lot. I've heard some snarky suggestions, but I don't like former Representative Paul Scott, but I don't see that happening. Obviously, somebody with a very strong financial background, and I wouldn't be surprised if they might look out of state, as they did with Kevin Orr as the emergency manager in Detroit.
Who can we say is number two at Treasury, though?
Well, you know, for the Treasury Department, they work hand in hand with the State Budget Office, and John Nixon heads that up. So obviously he can fill some of the role in the meantime.
Okay. And does your pulse beat a little faster heading into a general election year? I imagine it does.
It does. I mean, there's always a lot more to cover. I mean, I just saw Rick Snyder's campaign ad over the weekend when I was watching the Lions game. So, you know, we're already in that season. So that means lots of material for me at Inside Michigan Politics.
What do you make of the Snyder-Shower matchup next year?
Well, I think it's definitely one of those races that will be watched nationally. The Washington Post consistently puts it in its top 10 races. I think it's going to be a huge spending race. And, you know, at the moment, it looks like it will be a close election. So there will be lots for us to cover.
Will there be an issue coming to the fore in the next 12 months that will end up playing a larger role in the governor's race? One that maybe we're not paying attention to now? Or do you think the issues are by and large out on the table at this point?
I think the issue is always the economy, especially when things have not improved as much as we'd all like, and you see those unemployment numbers creeping up a little bit. That's always going to be the number one issue. But this situation in Detroit, I think, is going to be a big issue as well. If that goes well, that's great for Governor Snyder. If things continue to be unstable there, I think people might be a little less sure. So I would look to see what kind of resolution we're looking at for the state's largest city.
You would say if the governor has a vulnerability, it is more likely Detroit than, say, Right to Work?
You know, I don't know that Detroit is a vulnerability. I think that that's helped him right now.
Okay.
However, if Detroit continues to be the problem that most people see it as, I think it will be a knock against him. Right to Work will be an issue. Obviously, most of the workforce isn't unionized, so it might not be the biggest issue. I think jobs, obviously, since everybody wants to be employed, that's the larger issue at hand. But I do think that the fact that the economy hasn't improved as much as Governor Snyder, I think, would like it to, that's a vulnerability, because he's made a lot of promises. He's made a lot of big policy changes. But, you know, as we know in Michigan and with the national economy, the recovery has been very, very slow.
How is Mark Schauer vulnerable?
Well, Mark Schauer has taken some votes in Congress that will clearly be used against him, voting for the Affordable Care Act or Obamacare, voting for cap and trade, environmental policy. So, you know, clearly he's going to be painted as a liberal. He did vote for a tax increase back in 2007. He'll counter that Governor Snyder passed his own tax increases, but that muddles the issue.
Mm-hmm.
So I think you've seen that he's going to be cast as the typical liberal Democrat, and that will be the line of attack.
Mm-hmm. And Terry Lynn Land and Gary Peters, I'm really curious what you anticipate there.
Well, obviously, a lot of money is going to be spent when people are already raising millions of dollars apiece for this race. But in general, we tend to vote Democratic at the federal level for U.S. Senate and for the presidential election. We've voted Democratic for the last six presidential elections. You know, our two senators are Democrats. So I think there is an institutional help for Gary Peters. But if Terry Lynn Land is willing to spend a lot of her own money and raise a lot of money, which she seems to be, this will be a competitive race. This will be one that will be watched nationally.
So much is made of the split, the ideological split in the GOP. What do you make of that here in Michigan?
Well, I do think you see that playing out. There was a lot of tension up at the Republican conference on Mackinac Island, where, that's more of the establishment Republicans that gather. But there are a lot of Tea Partiers that want a seat at the table. And you did see Rand Paul, who is, one of the big Tea Party candidates. He ended up winning the straw poll up there, even amongst people who are more traditional Republicans. So where this fight is really taking place is at the local level. Next year, we're going to have a Republican convention where the attorney general and lieutenant governor, for instance, are chosen. And whether or not those Tea Partiers are successful with their quest to be precinct delegates, which is a really arcane thing that people probably don't think of, these little local races could make a huge difference. And they could actually get Wes Nakagiri on the ticket, who is a Tea Party candidate, just because they have organized at that local level.
Mm-hmm. Are you watching the 7th Congressional District? Are you paying much attention to that here? Pam Burns, Tim Walberg?
I am. I used to cover that district quite extensively, both in Jackson and Battle Creek, so it's one of my favorites to watch. And Tim Walberg has long been a polarizing, character coming out of the religious right tradition and has since kind of embraced that Tea Party mentality. Pam Burns served in the legislature in a leadership role. I think she'll make it competitive, but that district still does trend Republican, so it's going to be an uphill battle.
I want to ask you a question that I wonder about increasingly. Whenever Democrats become a majority party in the Michigan legislature again, do you think that after this period of GOP control, that they will operate any differently in pursuing their agenda?
That's, when Democrats control the House in terms of just the management, it's very similar. You drown out the minority, the majority rules, and you make nice little rules to help you with that bid. But Democrats as a party tend to be, in general, much more divided. There is a bigger ideological spectrum. There are conservative Democrats from up north that are very pro-Second Amendment and pro-life. And then down in Detroit, they're very liberal Democrats. And so it's very hard to have cohesiveness when you represent such huge differences.
Well, Susan, we'll stay in touch. We wish you the best at the top of Inside Michigan Politics. Susan J. Demas of MLive, formerly of MERS, and soon to be the new owner of Inside Michigan Politics. We'll talk again.
Thank you.